If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
In the news this morning, remember we had, this is a Kale and Company news follow-up, remember that we had talked about that group of youths, the juveniles, who were accused of being behind a series of those violent attacks that were random. They would often come, you'd see them, they released the video and the surveillance images of them in Center City areas and also Logan Square. And they would come up behind somebody, usually a woman, and attack, brutally attack. One of the women ended up with serious head injuries, a concussion, hospitalization. Well, now we're told by police that these six young people, all underage juveniles, they have surrendered to Philadelphia police after those very clear images, we talked about this late last week, were released.
Mm-hmm. Now, are these the pop-up events or are these different events?
No, these were the six, there were six or seven of them that the victims were attacking victims from behind. And it was bizarre.
Attacking a female.
Usually
on top of
a woman.
Attacking a female from behind.
Hitting them back on the back of the head. I think one of the women got a concussion. Like mm-hmm. It was serious stuff.
Yeah. Cowardice.
Yeah, I mean, attacking them from behind, shoving the woman to the ground. And these kids, by the way, ages 13 to 15.
Throw the book at these kids.
Yeah.
Honestly, they're not kids, they're animals.
No,
anybody
right.
who does that has no moral compass and can't be redeemed, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that's just awful.
In the case, and here's the other thing, there's no comment from their school, but detectives say all of these kids, ages 13 to 15, attend the charter school Anthony Wayne Academy in Germantown.
Mm.
So they actually go to a charter school, which
wow.
generally speaking,
yeah.
That says something. In the case, though, police are saying the parents are the ones who brought the kids in.
Oh, all right.
Recognize their own children.
Yeah. All right. So the parents bring them in and they put them in a charter school. So I don't know that we can really blame the parents for, utes that somehow just go astray.
Yeah. They said that none of these young teens have any kind of a prior juvenile record. They don't have an explanation as to why it was random. They didn't know the people.
Social media.
I think that's a good theory, but they're not releasing that information.
Yep. So these are very good parents because they were willing to turn their kids in like I would. I know we've discussed in the past if all of our children committed murder, I'm the only one that would do the right thing and turn them in. You guys would harbor fugitives from law.
The problem is that this is a bad, look, we all don't aside. We all get into a little bit of mischief, a little bit of trouble, when we're younger. But stuff like this is just, there's no,
yeah.
This is just such a lack of morality
yeah.
and good judgment
right.
that no, I think that they all serve a long time
yeah.
for this.
Whatever happened to sticking like chalk in your teacher's erasers? Now we just crack old ladies in the back of the head from behind.
Well, actually, one of the victims weren't all like...
No, one of them was in her 30s.
Oh.
And they were all different ages.
I think the woman who had a concussion was 24.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So, these...
It was very random. I mean, it was...
Any descriptions of these juveniles, Dawn? Just curious.
Well, we have their pictures. I mean, and that's what prompted the parents to... You can see these digital surveillance cameras that are now, these are on the streets of Philadelphia and especially in some of the shopping areas and that sort of thing. So they're very clear images.
But no names because they're minors, correct?
Right.
Okay.
But you can see their pictures. They're online. The parents saw them. And that's from police. They said they could not have asked for more from the parents. Parents brought in their kids and wanted to fully cooperate and were not having tolerance. In this case, it looks like they'll be through juvenile court because they have no priors, but they do face assault, conspiracy, and other charges.
And they're all males?
No, girls and it's like
some
half and half.
Girls are some of the girls are the criminals as well.
Horrendous. Girls and boys,
horrendous.
Wow,
six of them.
I'd have to tell
six of them are girls.
No. I would. It looks from the pictures like three are girls and three are guys.
But in this day and age, you never know. They could be identified.
Yeah, because they have hoodies.
Cactuses.
Some of them. Yeah. But and that's just it. That the police are saying we don't know the motive, except for what Greg suggested. That's a running theory. So we'll continue to follow that one. Suburban police saying that more victims now have come forward accusing a Bucks County man of drugging and raping them. And so this is from the DA's office, now says a total of 12 women have come forward saying they were victims of Andrew Gallo. He's from Bristol Township. This is Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Of the victims, 10 of these women, ages 17 to early 30s, say they met him on a dating website and then were given spiked drinks. So it's believed he spiked their drinks with methamphetamine, among other things.
Jeez.
Dawn, just curious, because I know the answer to this, what was the dating website that these people were on?
I will say that the dating sites now being named are, Tinder, other mainstream sites.
Yeah.
But initially, we were told it was sugardaddy.com.
Sugardaddy.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nick. I've got two accounts there.
So.
When I'm not on bucksonly.com.
Look, I of course, horrific stuff. Yeah. But maybe not go. Maybe don't go on sugardaddy.com.
Right.
Just
yeah.
My own personal opinion.
And even some of these other more mainstream dating sites, to meet in a coffee shop in the public,
Because
apparently there were Molly or methamphetamine or other drugs.
Listen to you, Molly. You sound like one of the Utes.
Utes, that's what the cops, that's what the cops were saying. So it's in the police report.
We used to call it ecstasy, but,
Well, in this one, the victims said that this guy, in some cases, is accused of, one of his charges is he would strangle them. And so this was a violent, freaky situation, according to these victims' reports. He allegedly used the usernames Drewster420 and KAE. That's according to investigators.
KAE.
KAE.
Mm. Anytime you have a username or a screen name that ends in 420, you can't take that person seriously, right? I mean, that was like funny when you were like in high school.
Yeah.
And your screen name was Bobby420. Come on, dude.
Yeah. So they continue to put out this information and the usernames because they believe there may be even more victims out there. During a search of his home, the detectives say that they found a victim actually at his home at the time when they did the search, along with a bottle of alcohol that had been laced with drugs, including methamphetamine. Mm. So this guy, they're now upping these charges. By the way, Norristown, Montgomery County, the police chief there has been placed on administrative leave. Municipal administrator Leonard Leitner made this big announcement. The chief, Jacqueline Bailey Davis, took office not even a year ago. It was 10-11 months ago. And they made the big announcement, if you remember at the time, that this was the first black female to hold that post. They made a big deal of that. But now Norristown officials are being quite not commenting and being quite quiet about revealing the circumstances of this decision, saying it's a, quote, confidential personnel matter.
Mm, okay.
Police chief is out in Norristown.
Yeah. It's always confidential and withheld because, you don't want to insinuate and speculate on certain things.
Okay.
So there's a little story about an Uber Eats driver. I know many of us have used Uber Eats. Maybe you want to order a little something, a little burger, maybe a little burrito. But this one started with an Uber Eats driver who had a pickup in Lindenwald, New Jersey. and she was in the middle of the delivery and what she believed was a big burrito meal. This is according to Washington Township Police. Well, the package looked like it contained a foil-wrapped burrito, some soup, a container full of hot soup, and a bottle of water. Well, while she was driving, something did not smell like a burrito.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know if it smelled a little skunky or a little herbal or what, but she was sure that something was not right. So she pulled over in Washington Township and called police, said, this is something with this burrito is not right, and was very suspicious. And so the police inspected this, you know, they unwrapped the foil. No, it was not a burrito meal. There was no meat. There was no wrap. There was no lettuce or beans or rice. It was a big old, like a glob of marijuana.
Cool.
Wrapped in foil.
What? A glob of marijuana.
Like a big glob of...
it was the burrito. Yeah. It was the burrito blunt.
Yeah. So I'm getting, a few chuckles about this. So they're saying that they cannot explain this. Did somebody at the takeout spot, when they went to the pickup window, did mm-hmm. they maybe lay down one thing and pick up another?
Yeah.
So they are investigating this.
What do you like on your weed, Greg? You like pico, guac, or queso?
Like some queso. Maybe.
Yeah, queso's not bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But good for her. Thank goodness she didn't drop it off. Maybe she would have gotten in trouble or not had she delivered it to the next. So I don't know if she had to go back to the place. And
what
actually,
was the establishment that they got it from? Are they naming it?
They're not naming it. They're just saying it was a...
I mean, it's got to be one of the big chains, right?
Big, yeah.
Mm.
That starts with a C, or maybe the other one that starts with a Q. Yeah.
But they're not naming it.
Yeah. Interesting.
They're in South Jersey. So
I mean, look, if you've ever seen some of these kids that work at, you know, some of these establishments, they're like...
Yeah. 72% of them are stoned.
What do you want on that?
Dude. Dude, did anybody...
How much meat?
Steak or chicken?
How much meat?
Okay. Is that a bowl or a wrap?
The worst is when you go, and I don't know if it's Chipotle, I'm just naming that, but like when you go into Chipotle and order something, and you give them more than one order, if you have a big order, oh my lord.
Their heads explode.
I know. It's like one at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, I want this bowl.
Right.
Brown rice, you know, black beans, whatever.
Yeah.
And they have to go get a manager.
Yeah, we're not doing all the substitutes, pal, all right?
You know, guac.
Do you offer gluten-free?
No, I don't.
You know guac is extra, right? Yes, I understand that. Fine. Whatever you're going to charge me, just hurry it up.
Yeah. I went to a local on Saturday. I grabbed a hoagie at a local hoagie joint.
Hoagie.
Yeah,
hoagie.
And I told them no lettuce on the hoagie.
Yep.
And they looked at me like I was speaking Japanese.
Well, I mean, you should. That's not... Like, you need lettuce on it.
It's just filler. It's vegetable bread. Get it out of there.
Hmm.
Give me the meat and the cheese. And
really?
Yeah, sweet peppers, roasted peppers.
I mean, I'm fine with all that, but no lettuce,
yeah,
really?
I skipped it. Yeah, it's just too much. Taking up too much space.
I don't like that. Yeah.
Well, we are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Yes, the secret to finishing your holiday shopping, 3 locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That is josephanthony.com on this cloudy, drizzly, 51-degree day. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 617, so we've got the camera up very close on me. By the way, my chair is sinking mid-show.
Uh-oh.
So if, like, all of a sudden I look like I'm disappearing, no, I'm not on an escalator or an elevator. It's just my chair's collapsing.
The lighting on these...
The lighting is awful.
Yeah, it's just...
So we're going out with a bang today, folks.
Yeah.
So what the hell? Let's let it ride.
We need this fixed.
That's right. All right, 617, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. Out with the woke and in with the winning. You know, very few subscribe to progressive ideologies. We know that left-wing policies fail. And since wokeness was defeated in the election 3 weeks ago today, it's time to put an end to the practices in real life in many of our institutions here in this country. And that is precisely what is coming right now and this January. From the military to the media to our schools to corporations, the pendulum has swung back to common sense, normalcy, and merit. And there's many that will be leading this charge. Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene has claimed that her congressional oversight role with the newly created Department of Government Efficiency won't leave room to care about people's feelings, as she'll be too busy rooting out institutional waste and doling out pink slips to government employees. In an interview Sunday morning with Maria Bartiromo, MTG said, quote, "We'll be looking into everything from government-funded media programs like NPR that spread nothing but Democrat propaganda," end quote. And I think I speak for all of us on this show when we say that we are behind NPR no longer being taxpayer-funded when companies like us have to fight and claw for every ad dollar as a for-profit business. And also, speaking of Georgia, the university system of Georgia set to ban all DEI and commit to neutrality and teach the Constitution. How about that? According to reports, the University System of Georgia's board has recommended a number of new and revised policies for its institutions, such as a commitment to institutional neutrality, the prohibiting of DEI tactics, and a mandatory education in America's founding documents. Georgia's 26 public colleges and USG institutions shall remain neutral on social and political issues, unless such an issue is directly related to the institution's core mission. Ideological tests, affirmations, and oaths, including diversity statements, will now be banned from admission processes and decisions, employment processes and decisions, and institution orientation and training for both students and employees. No applicant for admission shall be asked to or required to affirmatively subscribe to or opine about political beliefs, affiliations, ideals, or principles as a condition for admission. Additionally, the universities will hire based on a person's qualifications and their ability. Well, golly gee, how about that? What a novel concept, merit-based admissions. Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks, hardly a friend of the right, but even she realizes how absurd this woke victimhood culture is, and she's had enough of the far left and their absurd message about America. Listen and watch this.
Well, I started thinking about my own life and how that mindset was actually having a real world impact on my life in terms of, like, just this defeatist attitude, feeling as though I don't have all these opportunities that people used to have in this country. And look, some things have devolved in this country. Like, that's certainly true. However, there is a reason why so many people from all around the world are trying to come in to the United States. This is a land of opportunity, even still. And I want to find ways to empower people to get after it, to go for their dreams, to not have a defeatist attitude or mentality. I don't want to infantilize people. I think people, regardless of their race, regardless of where they come from, have the capacity to do amazing things. And what I am just disgusted by right now with one faction on the left, it's not everyone on the left, but it is a faction. They are very successful themselves. They've gone to wonderful universities. They've gotten a great education. They have lucrative careers, but their lucrative career really hinges on spreading this message that there are no opportunities left in America. Okay. Everything is, all of our systems are set up in a way to discriminate against certain groups of people. They're never going to be able to make it unless we burn the system down. And what that does is it puts ideas, it plants a seed in people's heads. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
She is 100% spot on. Even Liz Warren might be on the verge of playing along, according to Politico. Headline, this is the new progressive strategy for warring with Donald Trump. Even Senator Liz Warren is finding common ground with Donald Trump. They write, quote, progressive Democrats wrestling with how to navigate a second Donald Trump presidency are settling on a new approach. Take his populist working class proposals at his word, or at least pretend to. If he succeeds, they can take some credit for bringing him to the table. If he doesn't, they can bash him. It's a change in strategy emerging in private conversations among some liberal elected officials and operatives that comes after years of resisting Trump ending with him returning to the White House, end quote. And DEI is about to face major obstacles from the Trump administration in the workplace as well, starting right away in 2025. According to reports, multiple state attorney generals will work in conjunction with Trump to end the corporate DEI initiatives that don't embrace diversity in thought, but only seek to fill racial quotas. Companies include Google, Target, American Express, Walmart, MasterCard, Bank of America, and Johnson & Johnson. And Trump has even claimed that Christopher Rufo has his ear on how to end the DEI facade in the public school system by ending funding for public schools at the state level. But last but not least, DEI in the military. If you were on the front lines in combat, would you want the most qualified, badass, and deserving soldier at your side protecting your life? Or would you want somebody who's less qualified but checks off a box or two? I know what my answer is. Pete Hegseth is under the microscope as one of Donald Trump's more controversial nominations. Here is what he had to say recently about the institutional rot in the military from forced hiring measures. Listen and watch this.
And that's why I think it's our only way out is, and that's why I do think we're at an existential moment. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here when it comes to the DOD. I think we're at a get off the pot moment.
Yeah,
we are at a tipping point for total institutional corruption. And Trump has a chance to reverse that should he win, he wins. Because what the military did, I didn't finish the thought on that, is they committed a Bud Light. Like they, in search of a non-traditional constituency, they offended their core constituency. So there aren't enough lesbians in San Francisco to man the 82nd Airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And in trying to cater to that, they lost the boys from Tennessee and Kentucky and Oklahoma. The traditional dudes who did it because they loved their country, or they wanted the adventure, or they, you know, wanted to try tough things, or they need an up and out of their community, whatever it is. They're like, if I wanted to do the woke crap, I could go to the local community college. Being transgendered in the military causes complications and differences. And the book kind of lays out the common arguments that those on the left or others make, which are baked in social justice. So it started, you know, you saw it under Clinton with the tinkering of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the reasons for those changes. And I talked to some of the people involved in when that was changed. But it really started to accelerate under Obama. And you saw it you saw the trans stuff come at the end of the Obama administration. You saw the women in combat come at the end of the Obama administration. It's because they looked around at the bureaucracies that they controlled in Washington, and the one that was that they didn't control. The Obama spent a disproportionate amount of time focusing on the Pentagon. They were skeptical of leadership and eventually brought in political appointees and generals who would do their bidding the way they wanted, which, as you know, in a top-down organization, changes the ethos of the whole thing.
You know, if you have common sense, merit is the guiding principle, especially on the battle lines of war. If you're a lady, if you're LGBTQ+, and you can do the job with the physical standards that match the men, more power to you. Welcome to the club, military, police, fire, EMS. If not, sorry, better luck next time. I'm not looking to lower the bar in uber important professions under the ruse of inclusion. That clip from a while back is relevant today because the latest report from the New York Times, where they write that Donald Trump is expected to kick transgender troops out of U.S. military as early as January 20th. That, according to a new report, the move would remove about 15,000 transgender active service members. They would be medically discharged, which would determine that they were unfit to serve. It also would, quote, lead to a ban on trans people joining the military and would come at a time when almost all branches of the American armed forces are failing to meet recruitment targets, end quote. Hopefully that transition would take place in time before America is pulled into a looming World War III, especially considering we haven't met recruitment goals. Democrats lost the election for many reasons, but one of which was the emphasis on the culture wars in America, in all of our institutions. Donald Trump won because he focused on the matters that Americans care most about. And elections have consequences, one of which is the woke brigade is over. So it's out with the old and in with the new old. And that is winning. And not everybody can win. Not everybody gets invited to the party. And you're just going to have to accept that or be better. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. If you have water on your property and it's giving you a headache, perhaps soggy yards, damp patio, or a pool area that's getting swampy, visit GardenStateEarthworks.com. It is your drainage solution. That's GardenStateEarthworks.com or call 856-848-4444. We'll come back, get some thoughts on that. Also, some big news yesterday from Washington, D.C., as Donald Trump's cases are now apparently history. We'll talk about it on the other side. Kale and Company on a Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This Thanksgiving, we're serving up an epic football moment with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook right now. New customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel app serves up all the ingredients you need to place live bets, same game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid instantly. It's the best feature of this. If you ask me, just go to FanDuel.com/Greg to join today. FanDuel.com/Greg. Join now if you have not done so and get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Greg. Make this Thanksgiving extra special with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager for only $5. First deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Donald Trump's court cases, a couple of updates yesterday that are very good news. Also, will Kamala Harris attempt not one, but maybe multiple comebacks? As a new report is out that says the current Veep in her final days is keeping all options on the table. But before we get to all of that, this seems to be the shift that we are seeing now as Trump is filling out his administration, whether it's at the border, whether it's the Secretary of Treasury. You're realizing, you know, just who he is selecting, what they are for, what they stand for, what they're about, and what the goals are. I kind of liked seeing Marjorie Taylor Greene, who we all know I have a love-hate relationship with. She's going to be apparently a part of the Doge led by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, rooting out some of the stuff like NPR, which we've all talked about recently with some of their absurd coverage and media bias and stories. And oh, by the way, that it's basically funded by you, the taxpayer. But I wanted to get into some of the bigger issues on the school front, in the military, and also with corporations. I just saw this story late last night. Walmart joins Ford, John Deere, Toyota, and other major companies in ditching the controversial DEI initiatives. Dawn, your thoughts on all of the woke nonsense that is kind of infiltrated and permeated almost every institution in this country? Because it seems like, at least on that front, forget election results, Democrat, Republican, common sense versus left wing, you could argue that's all cyclical. I don't think this woke DEI stuff is cyclical. I think this thing is going to be rooted out. And I think the longer Trump and J.D. Vance remain in office for 4, 8, or 12 years, the further we will be removed from all of these silly practices. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I just think that this past election was a referendum on so much, and it was so much more than Trump. And that's, I think, what the already irrelevant media doesn't quite realize. It's not about Trump. It's about us. It's about, we're sick and tired of all the baggage and all of this crud and all of the government overreach and overbearing media and lectures. And it's been an upside down land we've been living in. And people just said, no, this is insane and we're not taking it. And that's in part what this past election was. It was just people saying, nope, not going to do this anymore. And I think that we'll roll all of this back because it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just crazy.
It is. And, you know, you see it at the schools. We talk about it from Title IX. You see it in corporations with these ridiculous programs. You know, I've always said that the big corporations can do the DEI stuff and afford the, quote, bottom line hit for the sake of their ridiculous social credit score, because at the end of the day, if you're running Walmart, your life ultimately won't change drastically if productivity drops off because you want to check off boxes. But you never see DEI practiced in small businesses with 10 or less employees, because your bottom line is dependent upon profit and you live paycheck to paycheck, right? I always use the example for 3 years on this show. If I'm owning a local pizza shop and I've got 8 employees, I want the 8 best employees. I don't need to have 1 Asian person, 1 gay person, 1 trans person, 2 females, a black guy, and 3 other white people to fill diversity quotas, because I'm living paycheck to paycheck, even though I think a lot of young people are under the misguided illusion that being a small business owner is some lucrative career. Oh, you get to be your own boss. Yeah, except for when the phone rings at 2 a.m. and there's a leak at your place or your building catches on fire. You're the one that has to get up out of bed and handle those issues. But I tell you, there's nothing bigger, I think, than rotting out. And that's why I wanted to play the Hegseth clip, because he's brutally honest about what he said in those clips about, you don't have enough lesbians in the Bay Area to fill the 82nd Infantry and things like that. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in combat on the front lines. We talked to so many military people, Travis Mannion Foundation. We talked to so many people. By the way, Andy Chan, holiday block party coming back up again, 5th annual, Friday, December 20th, honoring families behind the badge. If you're a police officer, if you're a firefighter, do you want somebody next to you in a life or death situation that is less than the best? Less than qualified, 70% of what that person could be in order to check off a box? I don't. And if that offends somebody, well, I'm not really concerned about your feelings. I want to be next to the most qualified people, regardless of how they were born or how they choose to live their life. So I'm just so glad to see a lot of this being wiped away. And this whole nonsense with inclusion, life is not about inclusion when it comes to merit-based decision-making, right? All this, well, I want to be a, you know what? I'd like to join the cricket club in Philadelphia. You know what? I don't make enough money, nor do I have enough connections to get on that golf course. That's just a fact of life. You don't see me crying about it, saying, let me in. I deserve to be a part. No, I don't. That's just the way, that's the way the cookie crumbles. So this whole DEI stuff, I said it from Jump Street, it's not inclusive. It's exclusionary in nature, because right off the top, you're eliminating some of your most qualified people in order to fill a quota. It made no sense. And it's also against the law.
Yeah, and it's against the law. And also, it's, you know, it's something that initially, when they first talked about it, diversity. Well, that sounds nice. Diversity.
Only
and then equity. Yeah. And then equity sounds a lot like equality, except it's not equality.
Correct.
And then inclusion. Well, we all want to be inclusive. It's, you know, I think that people didn't, normal people, busy people didn't really see this coming.
Mm-mm.
And didn't understand what the agenda was.
Yep.
And so what did it lead to? It led to a bullying. It led to discrimination, exclusion, and then indoctrination, especially in schools.
Yeah.
And so that's when we had, you know, as I've said, you know, white boys in grade schools and middle schools apologizing for being a white boy.
Right, when you've done nothing wrong.
And that's horrible.
Yes, I agree. And I didn't notice it. And Hegseth lays it out really well, that it didn't start until midway through the second Obama term. Like, this nonsense did not exist in the first Obama term. But by 2008 to 2012, and then 2012 to 2016, my girls were born in 2014. Midway through Obama's second term, when I started paying more attention to politics, and I was still in sports, I was still in Philadelphia doing sports radio at the time, that's when I started to notice this to really creep in. You know, then Trump puts up the wall, so to speak, on that ridiculousness in 2016, and then it came back with a vengeance in 2020. And it was just jammed down our throat. So I love seeing it being rooted out, because again, I want the best people. And you know, that's why I think sports are the ultimate test. Sports are all about who's qualified, who's the best to be out there on that field, on that court, on the ice rink or whatever it is. You think, can you imagine if, you know, pro football franchises were drafting players based on hitting quotas? Your team would stink. Imagine if Jeffrey Lurie went to Howie Roseman and said, hey, you got, what, 9 draft picks this year? I need at least 1 gay guy and 2 Asian players. I don't care if they're good enough, Howie, but we got to hit some quotas. Your team would suck, right? It's all about finding the best people for the job in any walk of life. And I just, if that bothers people, I don't know what to tell you. That's what made America great. And hopefully that is what continues to happen here in the coming years. 855-839-1210. We'll get you updated. Trump court cases yesterday. Jack Smith in the news. And then we'll get to Kamala Harris in hour number 2. And then I teased a ruling from a high court. I'll give you a second layer to this. Apparently calling a man bald, like me right here, bald by choice, by the way, embrace the baldness, is now considered sexual harassment. We'll talk about it. 7 o'clock hour. It's Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
There is no greater time of the year to give back than the holiday season. And that's why my friends from Piazza Premium Automobiles are partnering right now with the Salvation Army for the Piazza Toy Drive once again. You can visit any of the Pennsylvania or Delaware Piazza Premium showrooms throughout December 16th to donate a new unwrapped toy. Please do this. Your support is going to make the holidays a little brighter for a local child. Find that dealership nearest you or online at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Thank you and happy holidays from our friends at Piazza.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The Justice Department has officially moved to dismiss its 2020 election interference case against Donald Trump after his presidential victory. You know, it seems like just yesterday, it was 2023, it was March, right around St. Patrick's Day, if I recall correctly, on my calendar, and Alvin Bragg filed those official charges against Donald Trump, and that began the year to year and a half of political lawfare against Donald Trump. And here we are now on November 26th, and essentially we have closure on all of the cases, a few of them officially not technically over. We'll give you those specifics in just a moment. But just think back on all of the characters, right? You had Jack Smith, you had Letitia James, you had Fonnie Willis, you had Alvin Bragg, you had Juan Merchan, you had Merrick Garland, Jack Engeron, Tanya Chutkan, all prosecutors, attorney generals, or judges. Then you throw in 2 assassination attempts, Thomas Matthew Crooks, Ryan Wesley Ruth, and of course, Trump's political opponent in the election, Kamala Harris. And they have all swung and they have all come up short of their intended goal of either defeating him in an election, killing him, or imprisoning him before an election. As yesterday, we get closure on the January 6th Washington, D.C. case. That is officially dropped. Special counsel Jack Smith requesting that all charges be dropped. Also, the classified documents case in Florida at Mar-a-Lago has been dismissed. The hush money case with Alvin Bragg in New York, we know, is concluded. Sentencing has been postponed indefinitely. What that means is that Alvin Bragg basically will wait until Donald Trump's term is over and then try to impose the punishment when he is 83 years old or whatever the math might be on Trump. And the Georgia election interference case has been on hold for quite some time, with the appeals court halted until the challenge to District Attorney Fonnie Willis and her lover Nathan Wade is resolved. I know, Dawn, you had some thoughts on this because that came across yesterday, and probably nothing bigger than the January 6th case with Jack Smith.
Yeah, and I think that the Bragg case is also effectively over. I think that one, what he was trying to do was keep that hanging over Trump's head, obviously, and they weren't having it. It was pretty obvious. But I believe that one is effectively over what they're doing is opposing this argument and opposing him trying to keep that over his, keep that over his head.
Yep.
They're not going to get away with that.
No, I would agree. And it's just, we talked about the timing. Remember, Trump officially declared that he was going to run for president again almost 2 years ago. I think it was November 16th, 2022. And then we get to the beginning of starting to sift through who the Republican options would be right around the end of the winter, beginning of spring 2023. And every time that there was something negative in the media, bad PR for the Biden-Harris administration or Hunter Biden, there would be just coincidentally within a day or two, big revelations on the court case front with Donald Trump. And we talked about the coordination, the orchestration of all of this, and here we are. And it, honest to God, it felt like that stretch of the spring into the summer of 2023, we talked about two things. We talked about Bud Light and court cases, right? Like, that was in our show sheet, in the news, almost on a weekly, if not a daily basis. Yet here we are yesterday, and I think one of the quotes was, upholding and continuing the precedent of not trying to imprison a sitting president. Yet they were willing to throw precedent out the window for a year and a half with political lawfare against a political rival's top opponent. So kind of interesting that they resort back to probably what they should have adhered to all along, because I think most of us were of the belief that these cases do not come to light if Donald Trump decided to, 2 years ago, not run for office again. I find it very hard to believe. Maybe one of these cases come forward. You know, Letitia James and Alvin Bragg, they did campaign on this back in like 2021. But I highly doubt all four of these come to light if he said, you know what, I'm good. I did my thing. I lost in 2020. It's time to pass the torch. I don't think we were ever talking about the volume of cases that we did for the last year and a half.
Yeah, and the statement yesterday from Trump was that lawfare against him was a political hijacking. And, you know, he talked about that he persevered against all these odds and won. And so to me, the fact that all of these cases, the timing of them, and the fact that, and I hope all of this comes out. I hope for transparency. There were reports, remember, that the prosecutor from Georgia had gone to the White House. We know that from some of those records. Who did she meet with? You know, how is it that you had people from DOJ and they show up in some of these local cases in New York? And it just, I think all of it, in a cumulative way, the public, you know, the public looked at this and said, boy, this just smells, this smells and smacks of persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and now I know that it goes away because it's essentially, it's against the law for him to become president and have these cases.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is that they have, I think that these were going to go away no matter what.
Yeah. Be interesting to see, you know, that we're now 3 weeks removed from the election. You have all these exit polls. I'd love to hear from people, and I know how this audience feels, but just across the country, how much the, you know, the weaponized government and DOJ led to maybe a deciding factor for some that were on the fence, that were independents, that were moderates, maybe were moderate Democrats that went the other way because of this as one of, if not the reason, and I don't think this would be just the reason, the economy, the border, wars like that, probably more paramount, but it's all history now, and we move forward.
We move forward, but we paid for it.
Well, I'll tell you
Think of how costly all of this was.
No doubt, it's all funded with your tax dollars, right? But I will. You talk about uncovering some of the stuff behind the scenes. Cash Patel has now been reportedly in the mix, not for necessarily the top spot of the FBI, which would be Christopher Wray's replacement, or the DOJ. He's a lawyer as well. But there's reports out there that he is in the mix and likely to be a very high-ranking member of the FBI. I think Axios labeled him yesterday as a Trump ultra-loyalist. And he has come out in many different sound bites and video clips over the last year that I think he knows a lot of stuff. He's another one of those flamethrowers. And I think a lot of Trump supporters would love to see him in one of those roles. I know a lot of people have been hoping that he will land in one of those spots. So we'll keep you updated if that officially becomes a thing before we get out of here before Thanksgiving. All right, hour number two is on the way. Kamala Harris in the news. Donald Trump in the news as well. And Dawn Stensland has some news. And she will kick that off in the 7 o'clock hour as we continue live on a Tuesday morning. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.